So I guess we can begin with the public hearing. Do I need a motion to open a public hearing? Do I have a motion to open the public hearing? Laura, seconded by Cappy. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we're ready to entertain comments. Anybody here to talk about 78 Green Street? Give it a couple of minutes, because there was somebody who expressed interest. I don't know. This is the...
Sorry.
Yeah, well, we'll let... Oh, actually, why don't we start with you telling us what it is you want to do.
Oh, you want me to...
Yeah, just a short presentation. I'm sorry, I should have forgot.
Basically, we just want to be able to take in walk-in customers. So we're going to build a counter inside. And then we want to have about two tables in that area that you see in front of the building. The two tables will be over on the right side.
All right, here it is.
Two patio tables with umbrellas. Of course, it's too cold to do it now, so we'll be doing this in the springtime.
So I remember asking you, did you talk to your next-door neighbor at all?
No, I never did.
Yeah.
I don't have much free time.
Okay. There was a neighbor, there was one neighbor who wanted to talk about, who lived on McKin Street, but he's not here, so... Excuse me? Oh, yeah.
Are you were here the last time, but it was in the council.
Right. No, I let him know if that is happening again.
So, for the people that just walked in, there's nobody here for 78.
Anybody here to comment on 78 Green Street? No, it's not him. Do I have any obligation to leave it open?
No.
So I'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing. Rob, and seconded by Cleveland. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No one. So the public hearing is closed. Now we'll begin our regular meeting. I said that I would allow the update on the Colarusso Hall project to go first because, where is it? Pat has another meeting he has to attend, so why don't we just do that first and then we'll get to the site plans. But before, actually, I want to, just in case some of you might not be familiar, we did receive a letter. As you know, from the DEC, they issued a determination dated October 31st, designating the town of Greenport as lead agency for the Hall Road project. The main basis for their determination was that a larger portion of the Hall Road is located in Greenport and not in Hudson. The thing is, this doesn't really make a substantial difference in that all of the Hudson Planning Board's CECRA issues still have to be reviewed by us. However, Greenport alone is responsible to make a CECRA determination regarding the potential environmental impacts of the project, but they have to do that under a coordinated review. Therefore, Greenport must discuss any and all potential environmental impact issues brought under this project by the other involved or interested agencies. And as you know, that's us, Department of Transportation, and the DEC itself. Our planning board is involved agency since the applicant requires our site plan approval, which they'll have to have. On a more technical note, Hudson Planning Board will consider any and all criteria under both 325, 3, 35, site development plan approval, and 325.35.2, consistency review with the LWRP. We will be restricted to Greenport's determinations in the SECRA, but we have to notify Greenport of all the issues we have related to that. We, of course, can attend any of the Greenport public meetings and ask questions or make comments. The applicant, Carl Russo, has submitted a site plan review application, and these provisions require further review. So we'll end up reviewing it accordingly. And as I said, the city will also have to approve the consistency with the LWRP. That being said, Pat, you're here to update us on, I believe, questions that were asked by the engineering firm?
Yeah, well, I can bring you up to speed on everything. Just for folks who haven't been here before, I'm Pat Prendergast, engineer from Kinder Hook. J.R. Heffner from Colorusso's here. This whole project is about a haul road from the Colorusso quarries down through Greenport, following an existing roadway down to crossing over Route 9G, across the South Bay Causeway and into the Hudson Dock, where they take the stone products, put them on barges, and ship them out that way. The whole purpose of this is to kind of twofold, shorten the route a little bit to the dock and keep the big heavy trucks out of Greenport and the city truck route. So that's the purpose of this project. This is just a zoning map that shows the city of Hudson where we go through there. This is part of the South Bay Causeway is in the CR zone. So what we've done since we were last here, we haven't been here in a couple months because we've been involved in the lead agency discussions. We've continued our review work with DOT, the DEC, and we've worked on addressing the city engineer's comments on this. Ray Drukowski's here for more specifics. He had submitted a comment there, which we responded to. We've also done we applied for a stormwater permit from DEC, and we did get that. I brought copies mm-hmm. along tonight I can hand out. The engineers had some questions and comments on that, so I've addressed those now and made some revisions to the stormwater pollution prevention plan, which we just recently finished. I brought a revised copy tonight for Ray to look at. Probably not going to respond to that tonight, but I wanted to let you know we had that. Overall, this part of the project is in Greenport. We've done a little more stormwater holding along in there. We've now finalized our revisions to the curb cuts for DOT. We met with them a couple of weeks ago. The main office down in Poughkeepsie is done looking at the plans. It's down to between us and the local Hudson office. So I sat down with them a couple of weeks ago. They brought along markup plans, and we went through those and made the final revisions that they were looking for. Of note to the city of Hudson, and you see, just starting on sheet number 8, I've got blow-ups in this and other ones, but basically, DOT wanted me to revise the curb layout as it affected Route 9G so that it would restrict trucks from turning north into the city. So in other words, they can come and go across here from the causeway, or from Greenport to the causeway and back again, or they can turn right or left going south on 9G. But we made the curbing so instead of a nice wide radius where trucks could turn and drive up into Hudson, even though we didn't think there was going to ever be a need for that, they wanted us to make the curbing so that you wouldn't be able to do that. And they also had us revise the signage. So let's see. number 10 is a little better wall for that. This is where the roadway crosses 9G. You can see the curbing. That's like a 4-foot radius. Typically, if you were trying to accommodate trucks, you'd make it a 25-foot radius. So we've got signage here that says no right turn here. Over here, there'll be one that says no left turn. And then further up here, which you'll be able to see on another plan, actually it's right here, there'll be a sign that says no turns. So if you're leaving the city of Hudson and you're going past this little crossway there, there's no turns on it. So they really, you know, have restricted it as far as Hudson goes to going across or going south. So that's the way it is on the final set of plans that DOT has today. And that's how I, you know, expect they're going to approve it. This is just another plan they wanted me to add in that just had the dimensions of all the curving. Like this lower half, this is Greenport. You see you have 25-foot radiuses, you have shoulder widening, so you can turn right, you can turn left. But in Hudson, it's all restricted. It's easy to, you know, go south out of there, but not north. And they wanted me to add more details on the signage that we could use. So it'd be all standard DOT signs like you've seen before for no turns. And so these are on here, and these are keyed to the different locations on the plans. So let's see. We do have a stormwater permit that we got from the EDC for the project, and this covers Greenport and Hudson.
I want to get on one more. Yeah, all right. Yeah, I can take this one because I have a large set. Yeah. And this, I have this too already.
Also, as part of this project, as part of any stormwater project, you're supposed to apply to the Office of Parks, Rec, and Historic Preservation, and they check their maps and look for archaeological resources and old significant houses and things like that. And so we had to submit the plans and pictures and things to them. And they've written back that they've checked their records and that there were no resources that we needed to concern ourselves with for this particular project. So that's really where we're at today. We're kind of just waiting to hear if, you know, how things will go with Greenport, what do they need us to do now that they're lead agency. And, you know, we're open for any questions or comments this board may have for us. Anything you know, need us to do in the meantime?
Ray, I mean, do you want to wait and be able to look all this over?
Yeah, I would actually like to look at it because we just did receive it tonight, but just a few items of questions of Pat.
Do you know who that is, by the way? That's Ray Yurkowski, or
Yurkowski Morris Associates.
Our engineer consultant?
So I know you had indicated that one of the reasons for the project was to reduce the impact on the truck traffic through the city itself. Do you have an estimate of how many truck trips that would eliminate coming through?
Yeah, JR had talked about that before. Do you have an idea, JR? I mean, 80 trucks a day, something like that? On a really busy day?
And even if you don't have it today, but before the next meeting, if you could obtain that information and provide it to the planning board, obviously that would be good information.
Yeah.
It would be beneficial for the board to have that as it's moving through the planning board process. And then also, I know that this particular project has been going over multiple years under different owners and so forth. And I know the permitting process started quite a few years ago. And one of the items that we wanted you to take care of is creating a bit of a chronology of what took place as far as the permitting, where you currently are. Have you had an opportunity of putting together a narrative in that manner?
Well, we haven't done that yet, because it seemed that with the whole lead agency business, that Town of Greenport, or whoever was going to be the lead agency, was going to give us a specific shopping list of what they wanted to do with that, wherein we would do one document, include a narrative, and copies of all the permits. So I have kind of held off on that just to see if I could do that in conjunction with whatever the secret lead agency wants us to do. But it is absolutely something, you know, we will be doing for the board.
Yeah, that'll be important to this board as well as Greenport. Obviously during the secret process, but then also for site plan application. So that way the board is fully aware of not only what permits may have been obtained, but even the correspondence. That was something that one of our comments from the previous correspondence that I had prepared back in August is to provide that chronology of and copies of correspondence both to and from the various involved agencies and regulatory agencies. So if you could do that, that would be helpful.
Yeah, I'm sure we will be doing something like that.
And also, if before a meeting you could send us appropriate letters and such 7 to 10 days ahead of time, so we have some time to review. Because otherwise, you know, we're just looking at this fresh here.
Right. So. Well, this is kind of an update. We
I understand.
I didn't know when we were going to get to see you again.
I know. And we got plenty of time still.
As it pertains to the city of Hudson, work taking place in the city, specifically down at the DOT access point, it looks like they are now making you redo the intersection so that way it's actually coming in perpendicular to the state roadway.
Right.
So it looks like there'd be some improvements there, not actually following the old railroad bed itself, but obviously we need to make some improvements at that location. So a question I have you looked at potential wetland impacts?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, when this was first proposed back in, it was 2008, down in this area, down in here, the whole intersection is within 100 feet of the DEC wetland. So anything we wanted to do, including paving the aprons, we had to get a permit for that. And what we've done over the years is between ONG and Colarusso is we've kept updating that permit. It's good for 2 years, 2.5 years, or something like that. So when we went to DEC last year and told them, you know, we'd also like to move the roadway to the middle of the causeway, they said, well, okay, well then rather than us just give you the permit for this, let's continue to review all of this and we'll put it all in one permit. So at this point, you know, I'm just waiting for them to give that to me.
So you'll still have to go back to, they haven't seen this new configuration.
Oh no, they have.
Oh, they have.
They
okay.
Absolutely have.
Okay.
And we've walked it with them, and their wildlife biologist, their only comment was that some of the existing evergreens or cedar trees, can we replant them? Can we pick them up and move them? Because they've grown between the railroad ties, and we agreed that we would do that. So I'm really just waiting for the DEC to give us that newest permit. Okay. But they've absolutely seen this.
Okay. Just to let the planning board know as well that our office, along with the Department of Environmental Conservation, as well as PAC, we've done site visits out to the site, specifically associated with the Stormwater Management Plan and Stormwater Pollution Prevention Plan. Jamie Malcolm, with the Division of Waters from DEC, Pat has submitted today, and our office will also take a look at that as far as any comments and concerns. So I'll have a review of the plans as well as that stormwater pollution prevention plan and those comments back to the planning board prior to the next meeting.
Right.
Just as a procedural matter, just to mention something to the board. Obviously, as we all know, Town of Greenport will be lead agent as far as the seeker review, and so they will be making the determination as far as negative declaration, positive declaration, potential impact as it pertains to environmental issues. That being said, that doesn't stop the City of Hudson, obviously, from your own review of environmental matters and providing comments to Greenport so that they also are aware of your concerns and take that into consideration during their review and deliberation of that process.
Does that mean we do a SECRA-like finding before they do their SECRA?
No, they actually are responsible for the findings themselves. However, keep in mind that your approval process and their approval process are running in parallel. Ultimately, obviously, you cannot approve the project until their SECRA determination is done. That being said, I think it's important prepare a list or to at least identify potential areas of concern. We've identified some. We feel that it's important for the planning board to identify those as well, and at least to inform the town of Greenport planning board that you're concerned with those areas and that, again, new information has been submitted and that you would like them to be aware of that, and you will continue your review and provide them with additional comments prior to them making their ultimate decision. Okay. So I would recommend that the planning board members take a look at the plans and the materials that have been submitted. There have been previous materials that were submitted back in July, if I remember mm-hmm. correctly. So I think that it's important that, again, the planning board takes a look at it, and as quickly as possible, because Greenport will start its process. So as quickly as possible, perhaps draft a letter to the town of Greenport, and at least from a bullet standpoint, just providing a bullet, whether it's wetlands, traffic, New York State DOT because of the access onto the state road, things of that nature that, again, just indicate that you are want to review that, you want to take time, you want to make sure that they're aware of it, so that way they just don't move forward without knowing that you're going to be providing additional comment potentially in the future, much like a placeholder, if you mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So I think you've already had some of that discussion, and we may want to ask Ray. My recommendation is, as we discuss, is to get the letter out right away mm-hmm. because the timing of the Greenport meetings and ours aren't in our favor.
So similar to the letter we sent to DEC?
Correct. I think you identified dust, noise. We identified the Basilica facility, the educational facility.
The wetlands.
The wetlands. Is there anything else that the board thinks should be added? Just again, as a placeholder, nothing's going to be final yet. He has to review the new materials. Does that cover all the potential issues?
When do we need to do this? Because I'd like to think about that and do a little research.
Well, this is just a this is just to get us a place in the process with Greenwood. Okay.
I know.
Whatever you think.
I don't know enough to know what my questions might be.
Okay.
Well, it doesn't stop me from having additional questions in the future.
Yeah.
And that's the reason for at least getting the initial
okay.
letter to them.
Okay, good.
And that would, again, so to speak, puts on notice, if you would, the fact that you have interest and you have items of concern that you want to make sure that are reviewed during the process. But it doesn't stop you from going ahead and conducting your own review and looking at it and doing your own research.
Okay.
And providing common information.
Thanks. Well, then maybe we should go ahead and do that later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll circulate it
okay.
tomorrow
okay.
for your approval, for the board's approval.
All right. I guess at some point, will the planning board need to have a public hearing for this?
Oh, I would think so, definitely.
For the site plan review.
For the
site plan review.
Not going to happen, right.
Gotcha.
Right. Not for this.
And chances are, I would recommend to the board that they do that after the SECRA determination,
okay.
just to have some consistency.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Any questions, let me know. If folks want to schedule a walkthrough on a nice day, let me know.
I have questions.
I don't run the meeting.
Yeah.
I don't think this is really a time for public questions. Can you make it brief? Is it for us or for him?
I suppose for him, I wanted to know if, well, for you then, will the sponsor be submitting another environmental assessment form? The first one was Marlin Zoning.
Another environmental assessment form to address?
Yeah, the May environmental assessment form is incorrect. It said the action is consistent with the zoning. Also, your boundary was drawn incorrectly. It's municipal boundary is wrong on the site plan. Has that been revised?
Municipal boundaries were drawn by the surveyor.
Well, he was wrong.
Are you a surveyor, sir?
Yes, sir. Can we speak after the meeting, please? I have another meeting. No, I don't have to give my number.
And could you identify yourself for the...
Sorry, Timothy O'Connor, city resident, amateur surveyor.
Okay, so you're not a licensed surveyor?
No.
Okay, good.
Just want to make sure. So we're not going to talk?
No, we're not.
Yeah, I bet.
Okay, thanks, Pat.
Yes, sir.
Moving right along. I think, oh, we didn't, let's quickly go over the October minutes. Anybody, oh, by the way, Jean's absence was unexplained, but, I mean, sorry, Jean's excused. Glenn just didn't show up. So, we're going to review the October minutes. Anybody have any comments?
Thank you for taking them. That's my
yeah, that's something I don't want to do again. I'm so glad we have a secretary finally. Any comments on the minutes? Motion to approve them? Laura, second? Cappy, second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, the October minutes are approved, and Linda, I will send them to you so that they can be posted. Okay. I think since we had the public hearing on 78, we should go straight to 78 first. Is he still here? Oh, yeah. No, he's not. He's outside.
Craig, is the applicant for 78 out there?
Who?
For 78 Green Street?
No, I think he left.
I think he thought that was approved.
Yeah. But I think he thought he was done.
Yeah.
Oh.
But you guys gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, we can still is there any open it to discussion? Anybody have any more questions about this? Or comments, Cappy?
I think you said there was nothing gonna affect the parking up there.
No, not that I can see. Not from what his proposal is.
Anybody else? No? So I'll entertain a motion to approve the application. Well, we have to do a secret for an amendment?
Unless you want to make a statement that you don't believe that there's anything that is affected by the original secret determination. If you want to say that, that's fine.
Seems like that.
It's up to you guys.
Yeah, we'll skip it and we'll just go for a motion to approve the application. Capping?
I just wish we would have gotten some comments from people, but...
Yeah. No?
Okay.
Rob seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. So he's not here, but I'll stamp it anyway. I'm sorry, 731 Warren Street. The application for the outdoor venue, the site plan approval for the outdoor venue. Where do we stand with this? We have a resolution.
At the end of the last meeting, you guys seemed to wanted to move ahead, and we said let's, because there was a lot of fluidity in what was being said, we said let's memorialize it all in a resolution. A draft, I believe, was sent to you. So now it's a question of you finalizing the resolution and then approving if you so desire.
Is everybody happy with that resolution? The way
seeker, of course, should be done too.
Yeah. Which goes first?
I didn't bring a copy of the resolution.
I have my copy. I'd be more than happy to
pass it around.
Pass it around. This one's pretty close to it, except it has Crystal's comments on it.
What was the final determination on parking spots?
It's up right there. It says it. I think Craig told me that there were 11. Is that what we ended up with? 11 parking spots included.
So including recorded or live was deleted?
I'm sorry.
No, that was a request to delete it. The original language, I believe, is yours.
Okay. Yeah, so you got to look at that one. When anything.
This was just the draft or the suggestion that we did not take. There was concern that we were prohibiting live, unamplified music, which we are not. Thanks, Ray.
I think I skimmed it pretty fast.
There's
another copy of something.
Everything. So,
They did get it. We sent.
So, we'll do the FCRA?
Sure. Unless someone has questions.
Oh, any more questions?
No.
Okay. As always, I'll read the question. I'll give an answer. If any of you object, let me know, and we can then vote on a determination. Will the proposed action create a material conflict with the adopted land use plan or zoning regulations? No. Will it result in a change in the use or intensity of the use of land? No. Will it impair the character or quality of the existing community? No. Will it have an impact on the environmental characteristics that caused the establishment of the critical environmental area? No. Will it result in an adverse change in the existing level of traffic or affect existing infrastructure for mass transit, biking, or walkway? No. Will it cause an increase in the use of energy and fails to incorporate, and will it fail to incorporate reasonably available energy conservation or renewable energy opportunities? No. Will the proposed action impact existing public-private water supplies, public-private wastewater treatment utilities? No and no. Will it impair the character or quality of important historic, archaeological, architectural, or aesthetic resources? No. Will it result in an adverse change to natural resources? No. Will it result in an increase in the potential for erosion, flooding, or drainage problems? No. And will it be a hazard to environmental resources or human health? No. To entertain a motion to declare a negative declaration. No. Laura?
I'll
move. Rob, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. So that's the negative declaration. And now I'll entertain a motion to... oh, I guess we actually have to vote on the resolution, a roll call vote. So you've all read it. Can I see 1 second? I vote yes. Rob?
Yes.
Laura?
Yes.
Glenn, is that Carmen?
Yes.
And Cleveland?
Yes.
Okay, so we have 5 in favor and 2 absent. It's carried. So that's it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You're approved.
So first thing,
why don't you keep the last page?
Oh. I wrote that down. Okay. And keep this. This page.
Well, since you signed it.
Oh.
Yeah, well, just give me the top.
Oh, okay. Okay, now we have 3 new site plans. The first one is for 45 to 49 8th Street. Are the applicants here?
Sure, that's me.
That's you.
I know my Columbia Street address.
Which is?
Are you converting something to a cafe?
Yep, 757 Columbia. You want to come up here and tell us about it?
Yeah, the main commercial is 757 Columbia, and residential
is 8th Street.
Oh, okay.
Well.
So, yeah, I'm looking to convert the existing space, which has been retail, it's been a gallery. I would like to put in a board game cafe with a library of board games for rental for use in the cafe, as well as simple food for eat in and take out. I'm not putting in a full kitchen. There will be no range. There will be no full-size oven, no need for a hood, no griddle, nothing of that sort. So it's a pretty simple game.
Questions from the board?
Sit down inside.
There will be tables inside. I'm still working out the exact seating. It's going to be somewhere between 20 and 35 seats, depending on how I can arrange the space. But I am working on that. We'll hopefully have that by the end of the week. I do expect most of it to be takeout. In terms of the food itself. Firstly, because the hospital is so close, I'm expecting to see a good bit of... I'm expecting to see a number of shift change, where people at shift change, and guests of patients, of course. It will be marginally better food than the hospital cafeteria, hopefully. And as well as the Hudson City Center across the street, and the Cooking Maid Library as well. I'm trying to work out something with them whereby some of their youth programs can then feed
Questions from the board?
Just the same old problem.
Same old problem, I was going to say. And I think it will be tied into your seating as well. Yeah. No, I mean the determination of what you're supposed to have is based on your seats.
I mean, the thing is, there's no off-street whatsoever as part of the site.
Right.
I mean, I can point to municipal locks that are fairly nearby, that are within simple walking distance. I can point out that I honestly expect most of my clientele to be on foot, as opposed to driving. Like I said, from the hospital, I would expect most of that to be people parking at the hospital and stopping in on their way in or out of shift. With Rivertown Lodge right there, I'm expecting a fair bit of foot traffic from that. And just in general, given the destination nature of board game cafes and given the destination nature of Hudson, where we have so many people coming in on the train and walking the town, I would think there's more of that. And that's not even counting the fact that I do plan on having the under 18 crowd as well. So that's going to be mostly non-drivers.
Well, it's going to need a public hearing, and I would think between now and the public hearing, it would be pretty crucial to come up with a seating plan as well.
Like to arrange it allows for fewer seats, but it's more comfortable. I can get more seats in there, but I don't know if I actually like it that way.
Mitch, can we call for the public hearing without that information?
It's up to the planning board. I mean, obviously, I just want to make sure she understands what you're asking.
Right.
You need to know a maximum seating because that's going to affect your decision on whether there's a change of traffic or not a change of traffic and whether or not you feel that the parking per the code needs to be strictly followed or not. So
right.
Just so you understand. So it's up to you if you're satisfied getting that in advance and then having a public hearing. It doesn't mean if you have a public hearing, you have to make a decision
right. That
day anyway.
If you could have that like within 10 days before the public hearing, which is our next meeting, that would be useful so that we could see that that same day. Our next meeting, and Linda, make notes, please. We're going to need a public hearing notice for this property, this application, I mean. Thank you. Next. Andy, do you have copies for us for everything?
I do.
Okay. We're doing 209, 211, and 213 Columbia Street.
To purchase that as well. You'll see on the third page are the three tax maps we're talking about. So it's really Columbia and Prison Alley. We will be, we've spoken with a surveyor, with Dan Russell. He'll be providing us with a certified survey. The applicant is Greater Hudson Promise Neighborhood. Is everyone here familiar with them, with what they do?
You can give us a quick summary.
My thought was, rather than hear me talk, Joni has done a pretty nice video, and I thought maybe just to play it, just a brief snippet of it. So I won't do the whole 10 minutes, but just to give you an idea of who they are, I think it's pretty helpful.
modeled after the highly successful Harlem Children's Zone in New York City. They've had tremendous success over the past 30 years around getting students from a low-income community, a struggling community, into college and successful careers by offering them wraparound supports and opportunities throughout their lifetimes. Back in December of 2011, Hudson was chosen as one of only 15 communities across the United States out of hundreds of applicants to begin planning a Promise Neighborhood.
I was so excited when I first found out about it because I think it's a remarkable program. I'm a big fan of the Harlem Children's Zone and have followed its progress for a number of years, and I think that Hudson is such a perfect community to have a program like the Promise Neighborhood.
Hudson's Promise Neighborhood began by assessing the specific needs of the community through direct contact with residents.
We knocked on over 2,000 doors throughout the Hudson City School District, asking questions around education, family and community support to try to assess whether or not those needs were being met. And if they weren't, how would we introduce specific programming to assist with those needs? We even created a youth advisory board comprised of students from the Hudson City School District to assist us in looking at the needs and the strengths of the community and even with some of the survey activities.
The reason we did the surveys was to find out what Hudson needs, so what Hudson School District needs, so we can work toward it to improve it. We were supposed to kind of just brainstorm about ideas, how to improve Hudson through education, to help improve our community.
All Promise Neighborhoods throughout the country measure success based on 10 results related to education and quality of life. Achieve these results efficiently, Promise Neighborhoods are designed to help existing community programs collaborate and share resources, or to develop new programs that address unmet needs. For example, Families in Promise, which helps new mothers and mothers-to-be make healthy, informed decisions from pregnancy to early child care.
I don't want to get overly cushy and stuff, but I was broken. I was devastated. I was actually doing photography before I got pregnant. And come to the hospital, it made me comfortable in my whole body. It prepared me to be on a, I didn't know how to be on a physically and emotionally, definitely prepared me.
Although Hudson's Promise Neighborhood is still a new initiative, it has already formed a strong relationship with the city school district in order to improve and expand the local education.
In the Hudson City School District, we have a very big challenge. We have a very diverse population of a small city school district. And my experience was that school district could no longer do it alone. We really need a strong partnership with the community. There's just so much you can do with 180 student contact days, 6 hours a day. So what I have seen is an amazing group of people throughout the community coming together and offering their perspectives on the challenges and also the solutions that they see can really help to improve our academic status of our students, as well as help them with their social emotional needs. So when you have the Columbia Memorial Hospital at the table, along with the school district and the Mental Health Association, and a number of different organizations coming together to come up with solutions that perhaps the school district would not have thought of on their own.
Okay. I just wanted to give you a sense. I mean, it's one thing for me to talk about this being a community-based initiative from basically pre-child development all the way through early elementary education, after-school programs, college preparatory planning, and actually beyond that for career planning for those individuals in the Hudson community. So they're really, it is an innovative program. It's somewhat unique across the country. And what they're looking to do is they're looking to utilize this site as the really kind of future and permanent home for Greater Hudson Promise Neighborhood. So in connection with that, we've taken a look at your code. Your code does recognize the ability in this particular district, it's in an R4 zoning district, and it does recognize the ability of a charitable organization such as this to be cited. And it's very important to Greater Promise Neighborhood to be in this particular location because it allows them to have really close interaction with their target community. And so it's the sort of place where for this program to work, and the reason it's been working to the extent it has, is that they're really a partner in the neighborhood. They're there. It's a place where kids can come after school, where mothers can come if they need to have assistance. And so getting, you know, down in the area that they've chosen has been very important to them to allow them to facilitate that. And certainly, you know, Sheena Savina has come here tonight. They're one of the owners of one of the slivers, and we certainly appreciate the support that they're providing toward this project. What we provided in terms of our application, we will be giving and providing the board a full certified survey, but I wanted to show you specifically where it's located. As you can see, it's close to the intersection of Columbia Street and 2nd Street. And then in terms of, you know, what the representatives, that, you know, this would be if they could get all the funding that they wanted, you know. Certainly, they would have space within the building to provide, you know, office space for staff, conference room, a classroom and computer lab, a multi-purpose space, as well as early learning spaces. That's what they would be looking to do. And again, the target audience that they have really is a wide-ranging audience, expecting parents, early childhood development, in-school and after-school programs, college preparatory programs, as well as career preparatory programs. So that's kind of where.
Are you on the zoning board's agenda for the next meeting?
We are not currently on the zoning board.
You'll have to be, right? Because you're combining three plots?
We're merging them together.
Right.
We'd be merging.
Doesn't that require zoning board approval?
No.
No? Oh, I thought, okay. Cool.
And one building, one existing building is being torn down.
Yes.
You said the city owns it in your discussions. What do you think?
Well, there's two different owners. So you can see I provided in the copies that I handed today Hudson Development's parcel. Warren Hudson LLC is a private LLC that owns two of the tax map parcels. Okay. So it's actually the combination.
If you have the extra copy I gave back to you, I didn't realize that there was additional stuff in there. I'm sorry.
Well, just the authorization from Gina.
Okay.
They're looking to get approval before they go through with the set, with the buying it.
And what is the nature of the building that's coming down?
It's really a residential building. It's I understand it's not in that shape.
So the old casino.
Do you have the 501c3?
Greater Promise Neighborhood has been working over the last several years with the Mental Health Association of Montgomery County. So they provide them the agency support to basically serve as their agent.
I told you.
Sheena wanted to say
something. Oh, Sheena?
I want to clarify. Sheena Salvino, Director of Community Development Planning Agency. It's HCDPA property, not under city control, though this is a component part. And the applicant here is Promise Neighborhoods. However, the purchaser of the property from us would be Mental Health Association as a point of clarification. And at this point, there's been no site control, so we're still in the negotiating process of this. So we haven't gone into a contract for sale, and I don't know that they've gone into contract with John either. So just all those 3 points just wanted to make clear to them.
So Andy, can you provide a narrative explaining that? Because that was one of the questions that Craig and I, you know, I'm sure everything will be fine, but and that'll be part of the application. And then obviously you're then doing it as a contract vendee, which I don't have a problem with, and it'll be contingent upon the sale occurring before.
And which number building is the one that would be coming down? The 213?
No, 209 and 211. Because you're last, super. we have the tax maps, which I think is helpful. I mean, this was just to give you a sense of where we're located within the city. Right. And then this, on the next page, actually shows the three tax map parcels that will be merged together.
It says in there there's going to be a swimming pool.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that would be not the dream. Thing, but they certainly could. They would, you know, they'd love to do that for the early programs for the mothers.
So it's too early for a public hearing, right? Or,
it's up to you.
I mean,
well, we haven't seen
a final
survey.
What's that, Clayman?
Do you have a talker?
I mean, we're looking to do this as quickly as we can because we have some time pressure with regard to Warren Hudson LLC. You know, they're pushing us to close by the end of the year, or else we're going to lose the opportunity.
So, say, I'm sorry.
Happy?
We can't do public hearing on the property.
Yeah, you could do it as a contract vendee. I mean, that's why I asked for a narrative. I'm not that smart, so I'm not comprehending who's who and how it's related. But you know, I'm assuming that Andy has thought about this and that we will get something.
Right. Well, that's why we put Warren Hudson LLC and HCDPA on the application because they're the actual owners of the parcel, right in the neighborhood with. The Mental Health Association is the applicant here.
So, just to answer your question, yes, you can. As a contract vendee, it's not fair to say to someone you have to buy it before you can come to us because if you don't get the approval, then they wouldn't buy it. So, as long as they have a contractual and it's conditioned upon the approval, boards do that all the time. So, yes, you would be able to do that.
I mean, what we would ask the board to consider would be to consider placing it on for a public hearing. And what we would look to do is provide you with, you know, obviously the not-for-profit status of mental health and the relationship with Greater Promise. We provide you with the requisite owner authorizations and also the certified survey. Again, also, he's indicated to me that he can do that.
And are you going to do you have building plans?
We do. They're included in the
plan. And so and it has the height and air and everything?
Yes.
Else.
Oh, yeah. All the elevations.
Yeah. So if you guys want to... You know, again, they know that they have to get it 10 days before, and if it's not here, then we don't put out the public hearing notice.
Yeah, and you'll address in this the parking issues or whatever it might be.
We'll give you that on the certified.
Okay, so the same thing. We'll go to a public hearing for the next meeting, but contingent upon 10 days before getting the...
Absolutely. The rest and if I run into any problem with the surveyor, I'll let you know.
Okay. Thank you.
So you don't
needlessly. Okay. And lastly, we have 214 to 216 Warren Street. Oh, I have. You don't. Hold on.
There's nothing, because it's not in a historic district, there's nothing about the building coming down.
If it's not in a historic district. Okay.
Oops,
sorry. That's a pretty thing.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to get some nice visuals from you guys to break it up.
Okay.
Okay.
Please identify yourself. And
Farrell Martin Blake with Design, KD Architecture. So the current use is a bar and residential with unfinished apartments on the second and third floor. This is the former Savoia location that was discussed. We were there through December. The new owners are going to be renovating. The proposed use is a hotel with a bar, lounge on the first floor with bench space. Currently, the building is operating as an existing business, but the building is needed for repair. The adjacent properties are restored historic residential and commercial buildings. The proposed use is a hotel with 9 hotel rooms, which is really going to be the 216 side and the two floors of that original structure are the hotel rooms
size, we're actually reducing, because Savoy currently uses the entire first floor of both 214 and 216 as bar event space, and we're actually reducing that to 975 square feet. The building is located in the central commercial zoning district, as you know, because it's there. There is no change to the lot area, the lot width, lot depth, front yard, or side yard. All of these meet current bulk and area regulations. The rear yard will be modified from a grass yard to a deck egress stair and parking. There is no required rear setback requirement per zoning code. Currently, there are no parking spaces and zero required spaces per zoning code because it falls in the central commercial zoning district. However, we are electing to provide three off-street parking spots. We did start with five, but with the new ADA compliance of the new code that went into effect October 1st, they require a much wider landing for ADA parking spots, so now it's been reduced to three parking spots.
Plus an ADA?
It's three parking spots including the ADA,
okay.
Plus a parking spot for their catering truck. There's four technical spots in the back, but one is ADA. The existing lot coverage is 65%, and the proposed lot coverage is 66%. And currently there's no limit to that lot coverage per zoning code. And there's no change to the building height or number of stories happening with this project.
Questions from the board?
It's just going to be bar, lounge area, no food?
There will be some food, but it's depending on the event that's written it out. So they'll have a catering kitchen. And that's it. So it's not going to be a full-time restaurant sit-down situation. So depending on the client that's renting it, they could have an event there for a wedding and have it fully catered, and that would be sit-down. But otherwise, they could be a stand-up event in that space. But there's no full-time kitchen in that space. There's no kitchen being built.
Will the bar be open to the public, or is it just for the residents?
The bar will be attached to the hotel, and people can go in, and there will be connected door when they're telling them the front entertainment space is not
the lighting, sure.
Event. There is a connective door from the hotel lobby into the bar area. So you can set the hotel lounge area and have a cocktail.
Is the public parking spaces on one of these?
Yes, it should be on your main thing. It's right here. Here's Prison Alley. Here's your sidewalk. There's your parking spot. There's your ADA landing zone. So you've got your ADA landing zone.
Parking spot
right there.
In the narrative, though, wouldn't you want to put that, even though it's not for the public, that one extra parking space for their catering truck? Right now it just says that there's three.
Well, this one's got a dumpster and it's got a food truck
parked
there. So we've got that marked as a dumpster and a food truck.
Oh, it just, okay.
So, and we've got three public spots.
Right,
so this
right.
is not a public spot.
I'm just saying that your narrative, it doesn't really
right.
say that, but that's all
right. Right. Well, it's three proposed parking spots because
this, hold
is,
on,
this is a place for a dumpster
and a food truck. Sorry, I thought you had something you wanted to ask.
Sir, you said that it's not going to be in the kitchen there. Is this the kitchen there right now? Are you going to
it's gone. That's it's becoming gone. That's becoming a handicapped hotel because that entire side where their kitchen is and their pool table and everything
right.
is all becoming part of the hotel lobby, guest room, reception area.
Okay.
So.
Well, we were talking about parking, but I said the business been existing forever, so.
Well, I know that's a big concern for Hudson with any project that's being done in Hudson, but as we also know, that being in a commercial zone, in this use, it doesn't require parking spots per, if you look it up in, 325 attachment 2, you go down to parking, and it does not require parking. However, we've elected to take the green space in the back of the structure and provide some relief to, the ever-growing issue of parking that's happening in the city.
The upstairs was unoccupied right now.
Currently, it's unoccupied. The two stories are raw space. They never completed them.
Okay.
And they're complete, and they're going to be completely reframed and restored and reused.
So you're bringing in, you said, how much room you put in?
9 rooms.
You're putting in 9 rooms.
Correct.
And how many people?
And no parking space, though. We got 3 parking spaces.
Correct. But at the same time, you know, we've done the maximum with the current ADA code requirement, allowing the maximum amounts of spaces that we could add to the back of the structure. You know, even though we're not technically required to add parking, it's that we have chosen to take that space and do the maximum parking we can. And with the ADA code requirement, which is now almost a full-size parking spot now, they're requiring further loading and unloading for an ADA parking spot. So that took away a parking spot, because we started with 5 originally. But when that new code came into effect October 1st, it narrowed it down to 2.
I think what he's referring to is 325.19. And you did a great job, and you cited all the things, but 325.19b talks about how many parking spaces you need specifically for hotels and motels.
Right.
And so it's 1 per room.
Right.
So what he's alluding to is that you should have 9.
Right. And the maximum we can do with ADA compliance of the current green space is what we maximize to on the back of that structure.
Well, I'm not sure I understand what that means, the maximum you can do with ADA green space.
Well, the lot is only so wide.
Right.
You were required to do X amount width of parking spot. You can only get so many parking spots and a width of property. So, and then you have to require ADA, which is the landing zone, the stripe zone of where the wheelchair can egress and egress to the lift that goes there. And that basically takes up one entire parking spot. So I cannot technically, to be code compliant, put 9 parking spots in a space that only holds 4.
No, I understand that.
Unless I do a lift system.
No, or unless you get some adjoining space for parking.
There's no adjoining properties for sale. We are looking at a property behind the property, which is currently owned by someone that they're not using. It's got a carriage barn on it and a piece of land, and we are investigating that. However, I can't really bring that to discussion because it's only exploratory at this point.
And there's no.
It's the same property we just discussed. Back.
No. There's a piece of land at the corner of the alley, and it's been empty for
years.
Yeah, it's the empty lot.
The empty lot, yeah.
Yeah,
for years.
So. Yeah, see, here's what we're getting at is, we just had this with the Rivertown.
Yeah.
Okay? When they did the Barlow a couple years ago,
right.
They now lease from the city for rent in a municipal lot.
Right.
They were given 16 spots for
right.
that.
Behind them.
And the problem we have is, you know, all this, like this young lady was just here. She wants to open a little
right.
something up, but
yeah,
that's hit and miss a couple of, for something like what you're doing. See, that's why I asked you about the catering. You're going to have events down there too, it sounds like, okay? If you have a wedding or something going on
right.
there, that's going to be another X amount of.
Correct. Which is also listed, you know, your occupancy is listed at the top. You know, we've done our show totals right there in your sheet, so you can see your occupancy levels. You know, your second floor is 10 occupants, your third floor is 10 occupants, but your first floor, because of that bar event space, the maximum allowed by, you know, by square footage is 264 occupants. Standard. So.
Well.
Right.
That's my case. You've got something going on.
Yes. Yes. At the same time, you know, we can direct it to municipal lots. The closest municipal lot at this point is the one by Red Dot, which is highly used by the city itself. The thing is that, you know, we could look into renting spaces just like the Barlow did. If the Barlow was able to rent space from a municipal lot, who's to say that, you know, since it's only a half block off from the structure, that they can't look at a similar agreement with the city where they could rent X amount of spaces.
So you said you're in the middle of some discussions. When do you think you might have that completed?
Well, for one thing, we don't know if the person with that empty lot wants to sell, not on the market. So we're just doing exploratory on that to find out whose lot, you know, and if they would be interested in selling or renting, you know, that space to be used. You know, and of course, there's the, you know, there's other areas in that area that needs to be explored, but
you know, right now, I can only talk about the definitive. And the definitive is there's, you know, a lot X, Y, and we can provide, you know, that many parking spots on the property itself.
Yeah, it's not the hotel rooms, really.
Well, but it is in a way, Kathy, because well, the Barlow has to do it, the WIC had to do it.
I know, but they've got 9 rooms. That's one thing, okay? And but the other thing is an event space. You just got to hear 150-some people.
Right. It's just like Swoon's upstairs, you know, the Swoon restaurant when they did their event space recently. That's the same thing. It's based on, if, you know, if you're setting or seating, that number goes down drastically if you're seated because you have less occupants when you're seated than when you're standing. But Swoon, you know, also has an event space above their existing restaurant, which they just opened, which, you know, is not, result, you know, not pertaining to me because everything's done by a case-by-case basis.
And they weren't
funds. Yeah, so, they don't, it doesn't appear they ever got approval for that.
So, I see. Well, at least we try to be a little bit more transparent. and we beg for mercy so, with that transparency. So
this first floor space, I was...
Identify yourself, Roy.
Roy Felsen.
He's one of the owners.
Yeah, one of the owners of the property. So as far as the events are going, we try to do them with the restaurant now, but we don't, the setup's not good for doing events. The type of events we do, a lot of them are people that are already staying with us, that we get a decent size corporate clientele at the inn that we have now. We have 15 rooms. Those people already are parking in town. And we tend to cater mostly that kind of business. We do things like pharmaceutical presentations, a lot of those companies come in. So it's not like, we won't be doing a lot of weddings. We won't do any weddings, really. Rehearsal dinners, possibly, but you're looking at 30 to 40 people for those kind of things. And actually the space, even though it can handle whatever number you said before standing up, I doubt that's ever gonna happen. It's mostly just to handle the business that people are coming to us for now. It's really the restaurant set up now,
right.
Can't handle.
And it's also it's basically going to be a large conference room for them because they get a lot of requests for having basically a large meeting.
So a lot of these events that are happening, there are people that are coming in, staying with us now, and now they're going to other places. They're already parked. They're just liking to walk down the road.
What we did with the last one that was similar is we asked them for a narrative in writing. Exactly what you're going to do, the hours you're going to do it, how many people seating, you know, we got the whole thing as part of the application, and then we went to
resolution.
Based on what they submitted to us.
This way you're kind of bound, you know, to what's in the resolution rather than just an abstract number.
Can,
sorry, Laura, I didn't
mean that. We can believe that you're not going to be looking to have 250 people there, but you still could. And then everybody in that neighborhood, and I'm one of them, is not going to have a place to park. I mean, it's, you know, I get, Kathy, I see what you mean about it's only 9 rooms, but there's not even the parking space for 9 rooms. So the other thing I wonder is if you could explore the idea of renting some parking space from the municipal lot for the people that are staying there so that you do have at least 9 confirmed.
Can I ask a question? When Barlow leased their spaces, the municipal lot behind their structure, are they tagged on the meter saying for Barlow residents only?
No,
it's a permit.
Permit. The city sells permits, so they have 16 permits.
Right, exactly. So, but at the same time, if they have a permit and they go to that lot and there's no parking spots available in that lot, it doesn't really ease the parking situation because you're still parking on the street if there's not other available.
I've never heard the Barlow complain about that, but I don't know that that's...
Right. That's a different lot. This
this is much bigger.
It's not this larger lot.
Because this is a small lot. The closest municipal lot to this structure is a small lot that I do believe has 18 spots in it, maybe? It's in that. Out of that, 4 of those are handicapped at the beginning. So
we don't have a problem except if you were here listening, we just went through this with.
Mm-hmm. We know parking is a major issue with any planning thing that we've come before you with, and also with any other projects that we've come before you with. So we know.
So if you could,
and we've made every other.
So could you do some research about additional parking around?
We're happy to explore. We've already started that. I mean, that's the whole thing. We knew that would be coming up.
It's kind of two things. First, I think the board wants narrative on exactly what the operations will be with maximum seating.
Yep.
What kind of events? You say no weddings, fine, just put in no weddings. And then second, because based on that, then we'll know what parking would be required,
yeah.
And then you figure out what accommodations you have, and we'll work that out. And certainly, your explanation of you have corporate clients and they have restaurants, that should all be in there, because that may mitigate the need for certain things. So, you know, just a full explanation with as much detail as exactly what the operation will be.
Yeah, we can do that.
Can I just add that, that
one time.
I mean, maybe I'm being, too hard about this, but we, even though it's only 9 rooms, we've made the other hotels have to comply with, you know, with the code, and I don't see why. I mean, that in that area down there, 9 parking spaces makes a difference if people are staying overnight.
I think we'll definitely explore getting the additional, 6 spots elsewhere. I mean, like we said, we're looking at the lot, which is
right.
Which would be the easiest is we could rip the lot that's behind this property that's empty and make that parking. But again, until we know that, and we're happy to look at leasing, 6 spots from the city. That's the closest municipal lot, which would be the one between Third and City Hall. What's the next little cross street?
City Hall Place.
Yeah, City Hall Place. Thank you. So,
Rob, do you have a question?
So can I just ask a question? Compared to today's setup, the capacity or the occupancy is lower in your plan than it would be where it is today, because you've cut half of that building.
Correct.
So currently they probably can hold more than 274.
Correct, if they're standing, because they have the entire first floor.
Right.
So how Savoia is currently set up is they have this side and this side as all event public bar space. They have the entire first floor. We're cutting it down to be just this side and taking it down to only 975 square feet. So we are reducing.
But you have they have the first floor now occupied, but the second floor and third floor is
completely correct.
But now you're going to occupy the second and third floor.
Well, we're actually reducing the occupancy greatly in half the first floor, and we're only allowed 10 occupants per floor.
Okay, but you're also thinking that you're going to have a bar with possible 100 or 200 people standing, you said.
Well, no, the thing is, like, when you look up your square footage and you look up your code and you say what's your maximum allowable occupancy, when you go to look up occupancy, that's where that number coming from. Whether the ideally thing is most likely, it's going to be 75 at tops. Because when you start to say,
that's what we need to hear. So, Farrell,
I'm happy to break down for seated, standing situations.
That's part of the
because
narrative.
There's 2 different numbers there.
Right.
Yeah. There's a number if it's a seated arrangement, and there's a different number. It's just that when you go from square footage and what you're using it for,
understood.
This is the number that it equates to. Now, on that, then you have to feed in your allowable maximum use with the liquor law. And so that's the whole thing. It's like, maximally, ideally, I would say that, 75 people is really a comfortable amount in that space, whether they're standing or seated, that's a comfortable max that I would see in that space.
So how about we do the same thing we did with the Columbia Street thing? We'll have a public hearing next meeting, but in 10 days before that, we'd like to have the narrative.
Sure.
And the results of your checking into the whole parking situation.
Sure. We can check with the city and see if we can lease.
Yeah.
We actually didn't do it that way. We had the meeting, we got the narrative, we discussed the narrative. That gave me an indication how to write something. Right now, I'm not ready to write anything.
That's what you're saying. We should get the resolution first.
We should get the narrative so you really know what the issues are.
And we need to give you a little bit of time to do the exploring of.
You mean before?
The easiest thing at this point. Because
okay, cancel that.
the empty lot is too much of a big variable.
But exploring space.
But the thing is, what we can explore though is
rent. Oh.
I often
happy I'm not rubber suits. It's not in my job description.
Right. We can explore, you know, leasing the six spaces at the closest municipal lot, which would be, you know, okay. The one.
Well, if you could, you know, do all that and submit it to us 10 days before the next meeting.
Right.
We're not going to have a public hearing, but we'll then entertain it at the next meeting.
Okay.
Yes.
This is a question. I'm not...
Identify yourself, please.
Oh, I'm Peter Frank. I live at 346 Union Street. I think the project looks wonderful. I think that the fact that the occupancy in the bar is going to be greatly reduced should mitigate the need for additional parking. But I also don't understand why it would even be considered to trade municipal parking spaces, because if the parking is an issue, by reducing the existing number of public parking places, we're, you know, borrowing a computer to pay Paul. So that seems like a worthless thing to consider.
Well, until the city comes up with a residential parking permit, you know,
raising, let me answer. I think you're raising a much bigger question, right. That, which is right, but it's
right.
Like,
right.
Yeah.
Looks great.
So, a lot of landscaping and whatnot, which is more HPC than you guys. But,
yeah. Good luck with that.
I'm not going to the next meeting there on the 18th, because I'll be coming back before the meeting. So, but yeah, so we'll do a narrative. And
explore the parking.
Down,
break
it down for you.
Great.
On the, a more detailed occupancy for you, both seated and standing, and actually their use.
Right, their intended uses.
What might be, if you think you're going to have at the most one party a month, those things kind of make a difference, because otherwise theoretically you're allowed to have 365.
Right.
So those make a difference. In my experience, they make a difference to the board on how technical it's going to be. So that should all be in the narrative.
Thank you. Yes.
New business when they're done.
Okay.
This is our last thing.
Excuse me? Yeah, that's awesome.
Any other questions on me before?
Nope. Thank you.
Write you a very long and detailed
note. Exactly. Thank you. Okay, new business. Sir?
Yes, Timothy O'Connor again. Quick question on the Caruso site plan. Revised. Is that now the city's possession? How soon can the public see that? And their last site plan was a mess, and it took us weeks boiling and whatever. It'd be nice if
it should be available.
Yeah, that's fair.
It should be available. Yeah. Anything submitted to the city is a public document.
It's been submitted already.
Yeah.
Yep.
We just got it tonight.
Just got that.
Yeah. The second thing is not unrelated. On October 19th, your planning board report to the Common Council said five items mentioned the LWRT, and I had no problem with the last one, which was, I'll say it quickly, the planning board strongly believes that any amendment to zoning should be conducted under a holistic and comprehensive review of the entire zoning area. And that is certainly the planning board's prerogative. I have no problem with that. But that was preceded by, more importantly, the LWRP was part of an ongoing comprehensive review process regarding the Hudson zoning laws. And I searched my memory, and that is fictitious. But more important for you, that is a no document that I can find. I don't know who made that up, and it would be impertinent of me to ask who came up with that formulation. But I would like it to be on the record, but that is not true.
I don't even think that's what you said.
Well, I read it from the report. I don't know what you said.
There was a committee going back meeting 10 years ago. 2 years came up with a zoning, only zoning. It was never an act or anything. They wrote it up and they wrote it up.
This is something that somebody wrote.
No, I'm not saying that. There was a committee to do with the zoning. They worked on it for almost 2 years. They came up with it and they got shelved someplace, and that was the end of it.
But the zoning, as it stands, is the law. It's not part of any ongoing comprehensive review process. So I was not troubled by number 5, but I was troubled by the conditioning number 4, which actually opens up the zoning, some kind of a provisional thing. It's not, it's the law. Very troubling.
I'm not sure I understand what you're saying. The LWRP was city approved. As far as I know,
adopted.
It was city approved and it was not adopted by the state. So it's
no,
not
it
a fit.
It was not approved by the state, it was adopted by the city.
Okay.
That's a phenomenon.
Okay. So what exactly are you saying?
Well, I'm saying that it's really, that's just kind of a standard thing. The zoning is its own standalone thing. The zoning is amended in November 2011, and that's our law. That's the zoning.
So it's no one's arguing with that.
Right. So, but I'm arguing number four, which says that the LWRP was part of an ongoing comprehensive review process regarding the laws and zoning laws. What kind of mumbly stuff is that? See, that sets the precedent for saying the zoning is provisional. It's not. It's the law.
Well, I don't think you have to worry about it setting any precedent. It doesn't set any precedent. We can't set a precedent
well,
for anything.
We're worried about people, yeah. People think. We're changing the culture in slight ways that are very worrying to me. And this goes right to what I just heard from Mr. Prendergast on the sidewalk, that he believes that that proposal is consistent with the city's zoning law. And he basically told me to go stop it when I told him that was untrue.
That number four is consistent?
He thinks it's completely consistent.
That's what you're talking about specifically.
Yeah,
number four.
Which is why I asked about the EAF. They said it's consistent with the zoning law. That's crazy. It's a non-conforming use. Inconsistent with the zoning law. And nobody ever asked them to amend their EAF. Unacceptable. I'm not saying it's your fault, but that's totally unacceptable.
Well, I encourage you to put it in writing and submit a letter to us.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Thank you. All right, well, we can. Thank you, Greg. Can we have a motion to adjourn?
Yeah.
Cleveland? Rob, second. All in favor to adjourn?
Yeah.
Aye. No objections.
Linda, how are we?
Cleveland. Oh.
Who's second?
I'll second.